thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Seconds left. The puck across. Marcia's to left point. Setting it up in the slot. Kuznetsov able to block it away. 5 seconds to go. Eller's going to clear, and it's going to go the distance, and it's going to be down quite there. 0.6 seconds left on the icing call. And Vegas will get one more shot at it.
Well, the celebration's beginning on the bench. They can taste it right now. Ovechkin, 1 foot over. He's jumping up and down. He won't have to. He just jumped right over the boards. He won't touch him when this ends.
This is it. Get ready, Washington. Oh. It's been a team of destiny. All we need is a puck drop and release the hounds. Eller for the draw. And as the puck drops, the words that DC fans have been waiting to hear since 1974, the Washington Capitals are the 2018 Stanley Cup champions. It's not a dream. It's not a desert mirage. It's Lord Stanley, and he is coming to Washington.
Unbelievable. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here. My boy Will T. Ray's out. What's good, Will?
Nothing much, man. How you feeling?
I'm great, man. We haven't been on for a couple of weeks. We missed, you know, we haven't talked about the Washington Capitals winning the Stanley Cup. We're going to actually we're going to have Ed Frankovic from WNXT discuss the Washington Capitals.
And we also haven't talked about their coach resigning.
Yeah, it happened yesterday, so now it's like perfect timing actually. I had a show build up for Ed to talk about the hype up the Washington Capitals winning the Stanley Cup. Now we have to talk about something negative in Barry Trotz resigning.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but you know what? We discussed this enough. We had an email chat about this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's a different sport, I'm still blaming Ernie Grunfeld for this.
How can you blame Ernie?
It's true. Well, we have Ed on, and we'll discuss it after we talk to Ed about Washington Capitals.
And also, I want to make sure I give credit when credit is due. That was John Walton, the Caps play-by-play guy. You know, he had a couple. He's been classic during this run in terms of having good sound bites for many radio stations. But we'll see.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
We'll have WNST Washington Capitals insider Ed Frankovic on the show to talk about the Cap Stanley Cup victory, and also like Will T mentioned, Coach Barry Trotz resigning at 8:20. We'll talk about the NBA draft, which is coming up Thursday. Who will the Wizards draft? We'll both discuss that. You have an idea who the Wizards will draft or should draft?
I have an idea.
You have an idea?
I have an idea of how it's going to play out.
Because of Ernie?
Yep.
At 8:30, we will finally discuss the Warriors winning the NBA Finals, going back to back. At 8:40, we'll discuss Jay Gruden calling Alex Smith the smartest player that he's ever been around. And finally, at 8:50, we'll talk about the world of boxing, Triple G versus Canelo, Part 2, Wilder Joshua, Errol Spence, and also Terrence Bud Crawford. Boxing is very exciting to me right now, I got to say.
Boxing is always exciting.
But it's real hot right now, man.
I mean, to you non-believers and non-followers.
I'm a follower, dude. I'm a follower.
Jumping on the back of the bandwagon.
Go ahead. Anyway, right now we have WNST's Capitals insider, Ed Frankovic, on the line. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, guys, how's it feel to be home of the world champion Washington Capitals?
It feels great.
Feels great, man, as the championship's back in the city, man. How do you feel, Ed?
It's just amazing. As you guys know, I've been around this team since I was 9 years old, 1974. My dad started taking me to games, and I worked for the team for 12 years. I've covered the team before I worked for the team, covered the team after I worked for the team. So this one's awfully special, and I just love the support that the fans have given to this team around the area. I mean, Capital fans have come out of the woodwork, and I just love the way the team celebrated with the fans afterwards. It was a lot of fun, and the parade was just something to behold, and it just feels really, really great. And it's going to be a fun summer of following the Stanley Cup around, who it goes to.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to go all over the world because of this team has a lot of international flavor, and but just for these guys to win, and the way everybody, it seemed like everybody on the team stepped up and contributed somehow to winning the championship, and that's really what you need. So it's just been a marvelous time, a lot of fun. The whole city has been involved, even up here in Baltimore. I'm in Ellicott City. You guys know that. Just south of Baltimore. Everybody's been in the Caps, and it's just been unifying. It's been awesome.
You know, I was at the parade. I was hoping to see you, Ed, because, you know, the parade was crazy. Just the whole atmosphere. And like you said, like the city, they really took on this team. They really, like, showed, okay, well, this Capitals team is our team. I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, it was just insane. There were so many people there, and, you know, Ovi dancing with the cup.
Yeah, Ovi.
And the whole team, and then how many times did they sing "We Are the Champions," and, yeah, you know, over the days, and it was just, you know, and then, you know, you go back to Saturday after they won it, they go to the Nationals game, and Dan Steinberg made the joke. I thought drinking 800 Bud Lights at the Nats game was the tame part of the day, because then they end up in the fountain in Georgetown.
Oh, yeah.
All over the city. I mean, I just thought it was fantastic. And just to see the smile on Ovechkin's face and Backstrom's face. And on Wednesday night, those two guys are going to walk the red carpet in Las Vegas with the cup.
Oh, wow.
So Caps fans can tune back in and watch that. And, you know, we all made jokes. Are they going to be able to drink out of it while they're on the red carpet?
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
Some cake stands, you know. You know, those guys have gone all out, and it's been amazing.
So let's get to some bad news in the process. So Capitals coach Barry Trotz has resigned as the head coach. How did this happen after winning the Stanley Cup?
Well, I agree, it is bad news. I mean, you don't like to see a coach that's been in at this level for 19 years coaching, you know, really has adapted his style and just the way you see the guys like Ovechkin and Backstrom and Tom Wilson and the whole team really drawn to him and really respect what he says and put themselves team first, and he changed the whole culture here. But how does that happen? I think the ownership got caught up a bit in the 3 years of not winning the Stanley Cup, even though you look at who they lost to. They lost to the Rangers, President's Trophy winners. They lost to the Penguins, who both times went on to win the Stanley Cup. And, you know, you need bounces to win, and the Capitals got the bounces this year. They didn't get them against the Penguins, and this year they did. And I think they got caught up in that a little bit, and they didn't take the time to restructure his contract. And in fairness to Brian McClellan, he didn't get a contract till late in the year. So I got to put this at the feet of Ted Leontis and Dick Patrick. There's no two ways about it. I mean, I like both those men. I've been around both of them. I respect both of them. But I think they probably let McClellan dangle a little too long, and then clearly they let Trotz dangle too long. And there was a clause in Barry Trotz's contract that we didn't find out about till late, that if he wins the cup, you know, he gets a raise of, you know, $300,000 to $500,000, whatever you want to call it, from his $1.5 million, and he would get two more years. But, you know, this contract was signed 4 years ago. This is before Mike Babcock got $6 million to coach the Toronto Maple Leafs, before Joel Quenneville got $6 million to coach the Chicago Blackhawks, and just recently Claude Julien got $5 million to coach the Canadiens. And one of my favorite hockey analysts, Kevin Weeks on NHL Network, I watched him last week, and Kevin said, look, Barry Trotz is making $1.5 million a year right now. He's in the lower third of the year, of the league, I mean. You look at some of these other coaches, Kevin was adamant that his next contract should start with at least the number four in front of him. So, but the Capitals had a history of not spending a lot of money on the coach and the general manager. They have always spent on players since Ted Leontis has been here. And kudos to Ted. He spent a lot of money. He's always spent to the cap in the Ovechkin era. But when it came to coaches, they just didn't go there. And a lot of it has to do with the money. But when you look at the reports on the money these guys are making, and you know the marketing is going to go up now because the whole city's in on this, and they just won a Stanley Cup. They just made a bunch more money with these playoff games. You got to think they would have opened the coffers a little bit and brought Barry back. But it didn't happen. Ultimately, it came down to money and term. And I think there were some behind-the-scenes issues. I don't think Barry liked that Todd Reirden was dangled as associate coach at him for 2 years and came close to being fired allegedly during the season. You know, that causes hurt feelings. So Barry basically held firm and said, I want 5 years at $5 million. And at the end of the day, the Capitals didn't want to pay that. So that's how we get to this. It's disappointing that they're not bringing the coaching band back together to try again. And now we got to look at free agents as well and see, is John Carlson going to come back? How's this going to impact the other players? But a bit of a downer, but try not to let that take away from this cup, because all these guys contributed, and we got to celebrate this the whole year, and the city deserves it. And I want to see the celebrations go all year.
Oh, it definitely will. So you mentioned Todd Reirden. For people who don't know, can you tell some of the hockey novice that about Reirden?
Such as yourself.
So Todd came over. sure. Todd played in the league for 100 or so games. I remember watching him play in the late 90s. He's a big guy, really tall. He's a good, he's a solid defenseman, but wasn't a top four. And he played over 100 games. He played in the minors quite a bit, and then he went into coaching, and he ended up in the Penguins organization with Dan Bylsma. And when Dan Bylsma got promoted to the Penguins, remember they beat the Caps in 2009, and Todd was running. He ran their minor league team, Wilkes-Barre Scranton. And then what happened was he got promoted that next year, and Todd got, was able to bring his staff in to run the team. And when everybody got cleaned out there in 2014 in Pittsburgh, Todd came to the Caps. And Brian McClellan, I guess, see, there's a Bowling Green connection here. Brian McClellan played there. George McVie played there. Todd played at Bowling Green. So Brian brought Todd in. You know, the GMs get to hire one or two assistant coaches on the staff. Usually the head coach gets to bring one or two, and Barry brought Lane Lambert and Mitch Korn, and McClellan brought in Todd Reirden, and they kept playing Forsythe from before because they like playing. He's a good power play coach and a really knowledgeable guy, video guy, and they've trained Brett Lanehart into that now. But so Todd coached in the minors for a little while, about, I would say, maybe under 100 games, maybe a little over 100 games. Just above 500, maybe 10 or 11 games over 500. And then he came here and he's run the defense since he's been here, and he's done very well. Dmitry Orlov, Nate Schmidt. You can look at the progression of Christian Jews this year and Madison Bowie, who I think is going to be a really solid pro for a lot of years to come. He's a rookie this year, so we got to give the kid a break. But Madison Bowie is going to be a heck of a hockey player. And Todd's just done a super job with all the Kempney. Michael Kempney, when he came in, said he had no confidence in Todd Reirden. Shane turned it around for him. Mm. So Todd's been great at strategic stuff and coaching the defense, and now he's got it going in this role where it's a totally different role as head coach.
Mm-hmm. So at the parade, TJ Oshie said was started to chant back to back. Trotz is not going to be back, but so how can this team fulfill that promise about going back to back?
Well, the first thing they have to do is they got to sign John Carlson. If they don't sign John Carlson, I don't see it happening, man. That guy's a stud. That guy's a big game player. You go back and you watch, all the big plays he made in these playoffs, and he has a history of doing that. I'm a huge John Carlson fan. I followed him since 2008 when he came to the league. I was tipped off by my buddy who scouts for another team, and he said, the Capitals got a really good pick there at the end of the draft, and John Carlson, and he's fulfilled that promise. And so I think they have to bring Carlson back. On Wednesday night, Gary Bettman's going to announce the salary cap number. Caps Nation really has to hope that number is $82 million.
Okay.
It's supposed to be between 78 and 82. It's got to be at least 80 for the Capitals to make things work. $82 million, I think they can bring the guys they want back, especially Carlson. Tom Wilson's a restricted free agent. He's going to get more money, but he's not going to get a lot because he's a restricted free agent.
Mm-hmm.
But I know they need Carlson and they need Kempney back on defense. And then, the question becomes Jay Beagle. There's, Philip Grubauer, you'd like to have him back as a backup, but Philip wants to be a number one somewhere. So there's a good chance he gets moved, and that frees up some salary cap room. But to me, the key right now is John Carlson and then Michael Kempney, because Carlson's really the main key, because they have to really make sure they have a strong defense. Without Carlson, then you've got to make a big trade to try and get a number one D in here.
So you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Right now we have WNST Caps Insider Ed Frankovic on the line. So Ovi got the Conn Smythe Award, meaning that he was the MVP of the playoffs. Why was Ovi so dominant during this playoff run compared to prior playoff runs?
Well, I think he was in much better condition this year. He was healthier going into the playoffs. That was definitely one thing. But I think the biggest reason was I think the Capitals were a deeper team. And they were a deeper team because they had very good centers up the middle of the ice in Nicholas Backstrom, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and Lars Eller, and then Beagle in the fourth line. The key was, 2 years ago, Evgeny Kuznetsov only had 2 points in 12 games when the Capitals lost in 2016 in the playoffs, and I think he had maybe 14 in 12 the last year. This year he had 32 points, and Evgeny Kuznetsov took his game to another level. Tom Wilson took his game to another level. So you had a line of Jenny Kuznetsov, Wilson, and Ovechkin. And you also, what really helped was your second line now was Backstrom and Oshie, and what it was Verano for most of the playoffs. And they just, he really had better matchups because they were a deeper team, right? Mm-hmm. In the past, what would happen would be Ovechkin and Backstrom, and then they really didn't have a second line center that was ready for it. This is Kuznetsov's fourth year in the league, mind you, so it takes a while to learn how to play it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the past, teams could key on Ovechkin and Backstrom and shut him down. They didn't have that luxury this year. This was a lot deeper team. This was a better prepared team, Ovi was in better condition. He was hurt in 2017. He was not coming into this playoffs, and you could just see his complete game, and he and Barry Trotz were on the same page, and Ovi just took it to another level. I think it was his most complete season from start to finish, counting the regular season, just because the way he played at both ends. His leadership was incredible. I think he got everybody to buy in the way he was playing, blocking shots, back checking. There's a number of plays he made in the playoffs where he came back and prevented breakaways or scoring chances.
Mm-hmm.
It's his back check that sets up the winner against Pittsburgh for Kuznetsov to get the breakaway. So I think that's why he was so good.
Yeah, and great play by a goaltender named Braden Hovey, the guy that you've always been a guy you've always backed.
Yeah, you guys were right there last year talking about if the Caps are going to win, they're going to have Braden Holtby be the guy. And if it's not for Ovi and the way Kuznetsov played, Braden Holtby could have easily been the Conn Smythe. I mean, he was 16-6. He doesn't give up a goal for almost the last eight periods against Tampa to get them to the finals. I mean, Braden Holtby was just phenomenal. I mean, you go back, and a lot of these games are on TV now on replay, and that's a lot of fun because you know they're going to win.
On NHL Network, awesome. I love watching.
Yeah, isn't that great stuff?
It sure is.
And you go back and you watch, and you're like, wow. Like, I watched the game three against Columbus. I mean, Holtby made about 10 saves.
Agreed.
In that game just to keep them alive before they get that bounce off Eller's shin pad to win in double overtime. They lose that game, they're out. I mean, you have to have goaltending. We saw what happens when you don't have goaltending in the first two games of the playoffs. Philip Grubauer, he had a great season. He's a big reason they won the division. But he just, you know, the playoffs is a different animal. And Holtz came in, and he really steadied the ship. And they don't beat Columbus without Braden Holtby, that's for sure.
Oh, agreed. So before I let you go, I always, when it comes to Ovi, I always want to get this answer. What, since he's won the championship, since he's won the Stanley Cup, what's his legacy now?
Oh, I think it's incredible. I think he is among the game's greatest players ever. He was always called one of the greatest goal scorers, but I think the way he played this season and his leadership and the way he took a team with four rookies to start the season, they had five rookies in the lineup when they beat Pittsburgh, and the way he just brought everybody together and led, I think his legacy is cemented, especially in this town. He's a legend. I mean,
he's a legend.
You're going to put him up there with some of the great Redskin players. I think you have to think about it. When you go back and you look at the Redskins, you know, the Redskins won those three Super Bowls from 83 to 91.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even in, you know, Baltimore, you have Ripken, you have Lewis.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of Baltimore hockey fans. Ovechkin certainly, you know, gets Brooks Robinson. Ovechkin certainly, Johnny United. Ovechkin certainly gets his name in the conversation around here, I think, when you're talking about top athletes of all time, doing what he's done, revitalizing hockey. And let's be honest, I mean, 2004, this team was almost gone again, if not for Ovi.
I agree.
I think, and you guys, you're down inside the Beltway down there. What's your take on
it? Oh, I think he's the best in terms of, we had this discussion. I think we had this discussion last week, Will, or a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I think that Ovechkin may be in my opinion, in terms of DC athletes, ranks up there in the top, definitely. He could be one, to be honest with you, because in terms of being the best at his craft and being popular, he can definitely be one. There's guys who are just popular in the area, but he's definitely a guy that's been the one that has been the best, arguably the best goal scorer ever, and a guy who is charismatic at the same time and has won a championship.
Yeah, I think charismatic's the key thing. I mean, you're starting to see Ovi's personality that I got to see. I was privy to when he was early on in the league, and he really has a dynamic personality. He's a magnet for people. And he had to be guarded for several years because he got beat up for several years because he didn't win. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing Ovi be Ovi again, and I think that's awesome. I think it's awesome for the National Hockey League. I love the way the national media kind of, you know, finally got on back onto that story and said, you know what, this Ovi can't win. This Ovi's not a leader. This Ovi, he's not, you know, he's not one of the greatest of all time. those stories are dead now.
Yeah.
They're dead. I mean, he is a legend now in the National Hockey League. And around these parts, you will always be a legend, as will all these guys on this team.
Oh, definitely. Well, Ed, thank you. You have made this season very memorable, and it has added to the Capitals' excitement for the Urban Sports thing. We appreciate you.
Hey, I always have time for you guys. If you want to hit me up anytime over the summer, you know my number. You know how to get a hold of me. I'll be happy to do your show anytime. Oh,
thanks, Ed.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it.
Hey, take care, guys. Wally, all the best. You guys have a great summer, and maybe we'll talk over the summer after we figure out who we have for next year.
Oh, definitely. Thanks, Ed.
Definitely. Appreciate it, Ed.
Anytime, man.
Mm-hmm. Again, that is WNST Capitals insider Ed Frankovic. Great guy.
Great guy. If I were a diehard hockey fan, as you have claimed to become over the past.
Diehard is strong. That's like calling it diehard. Okay. I am a hockey fan.
Hockey fan, as hockey you've fan. Claimed that
Look,
you've
man,
become.
I'm going to tell you.
No, I feel like I learn more about the game every time we talk to Ed.
Yeah, he's great, though. He's great. If you want my real talk, because me and my brother had this discussion. If you want to disclaim, my brother's real.
Yeah.
He'll tell you if I'm a hockey fan or not.
Okay.
He'll keep 100 with you. And you know he keeps it 100. You know it. He's even embarrassed me about the whole the wrestling thing, Hulk Hogan. You already know. So he wouldn't embarrass me.
Yeah, but what are we?
We might go to break.
Running up against break. But yeah, I'll explain to you in detail why I said that Ernie's responsible for Barry Trotz leaving.
All right,
when we come back from the break.
You listen to the Urban Sports thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Big pimping, baby. That's right. Big pimping, spinning cheese. You know I thug them, hug them, love them, leave them, but I don't trust or need them. Take them out the hood, keep them looking good, with diamond cuts that'll freeze them. First time they fuss, I'm breezing, talk about what's the reasons. I'm a pimpin' every sense in the word, why my better trust and believe them. In the cup where I keep them, till I need the word, till I need to beat it up, then it's beep beep, then I'm picking them up, then I play with it quick in the truck. Many chicks wanna put jigger piston cuffs, divorce him and split his bucks, just because you got good sex, I'ma break bread so you can be living it up. I pass with nothing, y'all be frontin', me give my heart to a woman, not for nothing, never happen, I'll be forever mackin', hard codes and assassins, I got no passion, I got no patience, and I hate waiting. Mommy, get your ass in here, let's ride, check them out now, ride,
The big pimpin'. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene. Myself, Wally, Will T, Ray's out. Check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. Will T, you have something to say before we get to our NBA draft?
I was only half joking when I mentioned this earlier on our text message chain, but I did allude
there's
to
the truth to it. Though.
Yeah, there's some truth in my mind. There's some truth to it. Ernie Grunfeld being partly the blame why Barry Trotz resigned. And I say that because I say this. Now, Ted Leonsis and the ownership group has never historically has never paid coaches for their hockey team. Correct.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
But that same ownership group is the same ownership group of the Washington Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
The Washington Wizards 2 years ago went out and paid Scott Brooks a 5-year contract worth $7 million.
They paid him money. Yes, sir.
Scott Brooks, because Stan Van Gundy was alleviated of his duties as the coach of the Detroit Pistons and also the president of operations.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Brooks now, I believe, is currently the fourth or fifth highest paid coach in the NBA.
Yeah, which is a joke.
I mean, when you think about it, what has Scott Brooks done? He's gotten one team, the Oklahoma OKC, to the NBA Finals, and I think he has like a 600 regular season record.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're Barry Trotz, if I'm Barry Trotz, I look at it. Now, yes, I did sign a contract 4 years ago that would extend if I won the Stanley Cup. But what have I just done? I brought a Stanley Cup to a city that has historically – to a city that hasn't had a championship in 26 years and a franchise that's never won a Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And you've gone out and you've paid all of – you've
– to the basketball team.
You paid – $7 million to your head basketball coach. Don't tell me you don't pay head coaches.
That's true.
Now, I understand the economics may be different
between
basketball and hockey, and I understand that maybe the hockey team isn't profitable at all, and maybe maybe the basketball team is profitable, and there are different economics of it.
Yeah.
But you can't sit here and tell me that when I've brought a Stanley Cup to a franchise that hasn't won a Stanley Cup, I've brought a sense of a shift in mindset and culture within your hollow halls of Capital One Arena.
Yeah.
Don't sit here and tell me you won't give me what I'm asking for, because I believe I deserve what I think the number that Ed said was
five million. 5 million. About 5 million. That's what Trost won at five million.
Yeah. So don't tell me that I'm not worth that.
For winning a championship.
For winning a championship to a franchise that's never won one, especially when you're paying a coach $7 million who has historically done nothing.
And has, to your point, hasn't shown to be a championship coach.
Yes, he hasn't shown to be a championship coach, and he hasn't shown that he can get through to a point guard to make them run offensive sets in either place that he's been.
Very true. Very, very
true. So that's why I say I was half joking. Ernie is the guy who signed off on that contract. It's Ernie is the Ernie's reason fault. Why we don't have Barry Trotz anymore.
Well, Ernie's about to get – probably will have some more fault to his game, because the NBA draft is Thursday. The Wizards are have the 15th spot.
Yes.
Who should the Wizards target? Realistically, because a lot of people just throw out names and stuff.
No, I think if you're the Wizards and you look at the landscape of the East, mm-hmm. right, and you look at your roster.
Yes.
Your roster is – top heavy with three contracts that make it
hard
for you to add any additional pieces in free agency, any big ticket free agents, yes. right? So I think if you're the Wizards, you have to swing big. You have to go hard or go home. So I'm suggesting the center Mitchell Robinson, the kid who hasn't played a basketball in 1 year. He didn't play in college.
Oh, he didn't play college. Okay, I got you talking about. Okay, I know you're talking about.
The center, Mitchell Robinson. Center, an offensive center is something that this team has lacked for a very long time.
Yeah. That's not a bad one, actually.
It's something that your star, your franchise player, John Wall,
he's been asking for.
Mitchell Robinson is a guy who's 7 foot.
Is he athletic big?
Very athletic.
That's what
big.
He needs. That's what he's a guy. For.
Essentially, think of a guy like Clint Capella.
Okay, yeah, he's been asking for somebody like that.
Someone who's, if we're going to run pick and roll, a guy who will dive to the rim that defenses have to collapse when he dives to the rim.
Mm-hmm.
His offensive game with his back to the basket, it's not that great at this point. But looking at your roster, who
is it like that in the NBA anyway? You know what I mean? Nowadays, these NBA bigs aren't great behind. They're not great post players other than what, really? Embiid?
Yeah.
If you want to look at a 7-footer, I'm not going to go like Towns, but he's borderline 6'11", 7-foot. So you don't really have guys who post up, who really post up, a traditional post up big. A guy I kind of was looking at, I was going a different route, a guy that they're going to need some firepower off the bench, the dude from Nova, DiVincenzo. I would love him. I think he would be a beast. I think he has a dog mentality.
I think
off your bench, because nobody's gonna start right other than a big that you're the big that you're referring to. And I'll give you another big that I do like. I got this on Facebook, and I won't mention it now. I'll wait to my DiVincenzo. I think he's athletic. He can shoot the three ball. He can create. There's a lot. And plus, if he plays with John Wall, he doesn't even have to create that much. He just has all the tools to me to be an effective player off the bench. But go ahead, Will. Sorry.
No, I was going to say another guy that potentially could be around. I doubt that he's around.
Mm-hmm.
Who's to get? Trey Brown from Oregon, shooting guard.
Shooting guard. He can be around. He may be around.
You know, we never know how.
Miles Bridges may slip too. They say he can. He's gonna be a lottery.
See, here's the thing about Miles Bridges.
I like Miles Bridges.
He's a lot of like his build.
Mm-hmm.
He's essentially a tweener.
Mm-hmm.
A three or four. He's not quick enough to guard threes out on the wing.
So he probably reminds you.
He's like Trevor Booker.
Trevor Booker, or even what was the kid that played in Ohio State? He played with Ohio State years ago, a couple years ago.
Evan Turner?
No. Before that, it was a big, sloppy. Oh, God, I forgot his name.
I know exactly.
You know what I'm talking about? Because he was supposed to be a four. He actually was supposed to be a top three pick. He stayed in school a little too long. And then he went down. He was still a lottery pick.
Yeah, I know exactly.
He played in Boston, too.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah. I can't think of
him. Escapes me at the moment. But no, Miles Bridges is far more muscular, dense.
Mm-hmm.
Skill,
too.
Yeah. So, you know, I just don't. you know, if I'm looking at this roster and I'm saying I have to dramatically improve this roster, I cannot. I don't have the cap space. I don't have the good contracts to use in a trade. I don't have the cap space to acquire a free agent who can drastically change our roster. I have to swing, and I have to swing for the fences. So I'm going with Mitchell Robinson.
All right. So on Facebook, here are a couple of suggestions in this group called Wizards Diehard Members.
Ernie, if you're listening, feel free to take my suggestions.
All right. Tell me what you think about this. I actually like this one. Larry Reed has Robert Williams. This is the kid that played for
Texas A&M.
Yeah. And he fits the mold with John Wall. He's a defensive guy, rebounds, and is athletic. Super athletic.
A rim runner. Plays well off the pick and roll, attacking the rim. He's not a guy you can throw the ball to on the block and create and get a bucket.
Yeah, like Capella, same thing. They're not guys
I get it. My concern is what, you know.
You can probably get that later on, though, too.
Yeah. Well, no, I think he's about 6'9".
He's about 6'9". He's good height.
That's good height. That's good
for
height.
Today's NBA for at today's, the big?
Yeah, for that's today's good NBA. I haven't seen him. Switching and guarding on the wing.
He can guard. He can defend. That's the thing that he's pretty good at is defense.
I've seen him around the basket. Yeah. Like, he's a junkyard dog.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean?
A guy who actually played at the same school as him, DeAndre Jordan. Like,
There's a lot of similarities. Exactly. He also said Kevin Knox, Kentucky. I don't think Kevin Knox will be there.
But this is the thing, though. Depending on where you have guys, you know, ranked on your board, I don't know. I know in the NFL they do like big boards and stuff like that. In the NBA, I don't know if teams have big boards or whatever. But if you're at 15 and let's say a guy like Knox slips to 12 or 13, maybe you make a call and I don't know what you would offer outside of offering a future first.
Yeah.
I don't know who or what you would offer on that roster, but maybe you try to get it done.
And Villanova's Amari Spellman. That's the big. He's a big.
Oh, okay.
He's a. I mean, Nova has a lot of interchangeable individuals anyway. But I wouldn't want the Wizards to get him because again, he doesn't fit the mold as the athletic big that they need. And I think John Wall definitely. I like your point. Like. Mitchell, the kid Mitchell, and also I actually like again. After reading this, Robert Williams, these are guys I think would be good for John Wall. And also, I mean, I think they need a dog. They need a dog coming off the bench, not just if they're gonna have someone off the bench, they need a dog coming off.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna have a guy coming off, what's the kid Walker out of Miami? Walker.
Oh, that's a good one too. That's a good
at the two.
Yeah,
you know, he would definitely bring a guy that could create a shot for himself.
His ball handling isn't the best, but his bounce is impressive.
Especially if you run a lot of pin downs.
You got to run plays. Can't go overly ISO.
Yeah, can't go overly ISO with him. With him on the floor, expecting him to create a shot for himself off of the bounce for himself and others. But you know, if you can get guys to run sets.
If you say it again, Will.
If you can get guys to run sets. Maybe he's a guy that fit, but me personally, I'm looking at it like this. Look, Boston's going to get better.
True.
Philadelphia's going to get better.
True.
There's a chance Milwaukee can get better.
Yeah, they're talented. They should get better.
And then you have to look at it, Indiana with
Oladipo, and Turner.
Miles Turner and Sabonis.
They can get better. They got the young talent.
That's another young team that can get better. So if you're the Wizards, you have to swing for the fences, and I'm not going to sit here and say I know that Mitchell Robinson can be one of the elite centers, but I
take the risk.
You have to take the risk. I know that his floor is relatively low, but the ceiling with his physical attributes and what he's able to do, pretty high. So I think you got to swing for the fences.
Cool. All right. The Warriors swept the Cavs out of the NBA Finals. We will finally get a chance to discuss that after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Team with me, Wally, Will T. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search for the Urban Sports Team. Leave us a comment and rate us. The Golden State Warriors swept the Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA Finals. What were your thoughts about that? Is something you expected?
I didn't expect a sweep, mm-hmm. especially how game one mm-hmm. played out. Mm-hmm. Kind of disappointed that, you know, the NBA Finals was over so soon. But
me too, man. It's you know, sports.
It is what it is. But something's interesting that has come out of it mm-hmm. from my perspective, you're right? Mm-hmm. We always say that the greats are chasing titles. Like most people, you ask a basketball fan now, they'll say everyone's chasing Jordan with six, right?
Yeah.
Even mm-hmm. though Bill Russell has
11
rings. Mm-hmm. So this puts kind of Kevin Durant and Steph Curry in a precarious spot, right?
Ooh, explain.
Well, this would be Steph Curry's third ring, right?
Yeah, KD's second.
It's KD's second. This would be the third one of the, I guess, what you would call the LeBron era.
Yeah.
You know, this is the third ring. He's one of the LeBron era. And this is the second one of Kevin Durant's, one in the LeBron era.
Mm-hmm.
As players accumulate more titles, it seems as if we give them more respect.
Yes.
But the more Kevin Durant wins, even though he wins the finals MVP, it seems as if he's still chasing that respect. It's like the goalposts kept being pushed away, even though he's won.
Because no one's respecting his championship.
Yeah, no one's respecting the championship because everyone views it as he went the easy path.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though if you realistically look at it, if you unbiasedly look at it,
mm-hmm.
he's the reason why they won these last two times.
Yeah, I totally agree.
The finals MVP.
He's the reason. I would argue that he didn't deserve this year's finals MVP. I get it.
He did. Who would you give it?
I would have gave it to Steph.
But Steph had that terrible game.
See, that's
though.
The thing, though. I get everybody's points. And then when you look at the stats, KD still averaged more points than Steph because of that terrible game.
Yes.
But when you go from game to game, right? So how I did it, how I broke it down was, even visually, just watching the games. In three of the four games, Steph was the best player on the team. In three of the four. Unfortunately, the third game, he was one of the worst players on the court. But Kevin Durant's game one wasn't any good, but it wasn't as bad as Steph's game three. So I get where people are coming from, but when you look at how it was set up, how Steph outplayed KD in three of the four games, that's when I kind of looked like, you know what, you could Steph could have been MVP, or for me, if anything, you could have gave it co-MVPs. Like, I thought that could have been co-MVP.
I mean,
everybody's gonna remember Game three, right? I get it. No, the dude was a dog. He was an assassin. Like, Kevin Durant in game three was an assassin. He pretty much hit the nail in the coffin, like, in game three.
Okay. I think that's a fair statement. Mm-hmm. But I think when we look at the way he got his points throughout the finals, throughout the four games, a large percent of it was not on isolation, right? It was more of
the flow of the offense.
Like, and at points he was facilitating. He was, even when he didn't have the ball, you know, the way they were playing him off of the screens
mm-hmm.
was creating opportunities for others. People, if you were just sitting and watching the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why I would give the MVP to Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
But back to kind of the conversation we were having.
Mm-hmm.
Steph has three during, I guess, what would be the LeBron era through this eight or nine straight finals he's went to.
Yeah.
KD has two, and it seems to me KD still isn't getting the respect. It's kind of, he has to continue to chase the respect from the basketball purists and the basketball fans, all while Steph
is getting more love.
Is getting a lot more love.
But you see why, though, right? I get why.
I don't think it's fair.
It's not fair because you're right. Because I said this before, the reason why they got Kevin Durant was to beat LeBron.
Yes.
They don't beat LeBron without Kevin Durant. So yes. I get your point is definitely valid. But to a point, it goes to, well, this team won 73 games without you. They beat you. You know what I mean? When people use the whole argument about that Golden State would have beat Cleveland if Draymond Green didn't get into that that situation. I don't buy it myself.
If it was a fifth, we both be drunk. Yeah. If my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
Exactly. It's real talk. So I don't really get into the whole Draymond Green because we're talking about Draymond Green. I'm not talking about Clay. I'm not talking about Steph. But that's how people are going to look at it, Will. You know what I mean? That's how they're going to look at it. They're going to say, well, you joined a team that probably was going to win championships without you. But I'm with you, though. I think, like, for instance, let's look at it this way. LeBron this season, this LeBron, if they didn't have Kevin Durant, they would beat Golden State easily. This LeBron.
Yes.
With this LeBron, the dude that was going ham in the Eastern Conference, and then we saw in game one, if Kevin Durant wasn't on that on this team, yeah, I'm with you. And that's why he does deserve respect.
Well, I wouldn't say they wouldn't have won.
I feel like it'd be – all right, go ahead.
I would say – We possibly seeing 6 or 7 games.
Yeah, rather than an automatic sweep.
Than a sweep, yes.
Because even beforehand, we were saying that LeBron can score. People were saying this. LeBron can go 40 and they can still get swept in this series. You know what I mean? So I don't – again, like, I'm with you. I think in terms of in all fairness to LeBron James – to Kevin Durant, yes. That Golden State to beat Cleveland, they needed Kevin Durant.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So – No, I'm with you. He's never going to get the respect. Unfortunately,
he'll never. Kevin Durant would have to either A, come to Washington and win a championship, which I'm not advocating.
No.
Or he would Washington. B have to go to
he has to
go
leave.
Back to OKC and win a championship.
That's what I'm thinking. See, my thing about Kevin Durant is like the same thing. LeBron got more love when he went back to Cleveland, won a championship in Cleveland.
Yeah, like,
you know what I mean? Like,
this is the thing, like. People will try to slander LeBron for going, 3-6? What is he, 3-6 now in the finals?
Who, LeBron?
Yeah.
He's 3-6 or 3-7? It's 3-6. No, 3-6. He's 3-6. It's 3-6.
Because everybody's 3-6. He's been back to 8-8. Everybody call him 3-6.
They call him 3-6.
So he's 3-6 in the finals, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
But what no one can ever, ever take away from him is he won in Cleveland.
Yeah.
He went back to Cleveland and he won a championship in Cleveland for a franchise that's never won a championship before.
Agreed.
Kevin Durant, as long as Steph Curry and as long as any of those four all-stars are still on his team,
mm-hmm.
He won't get the appreciation and get the credit that he deserves, which I think isn't right because – you know, as I've stated before, we all try to put ourselves in the best position to get paid the most.
Exactly.
To work in an environment that we feel is friendly or more conducive to our personality. And all of us don't want to work as hard as we do for our paychecks.
Why would we?
Yeah.
I agree. And plus, you would like to play in a place that makes you happy. Like the style of brand. Like, this is my thing. Go ahead, Will.
Okay, no. Finish your point because okay. I haven't.
So I get that why people are mad. Because I always said, like, when Kevin Durant left OKC and went to Golden State, I was like, as a fan of basketball, right? As a fan of just being a spectator, not even playing or coaching, you're like, damn, you had to go to Golden State, man, because you could win somewhere else, right? That's how you, as a competitor, right? That's what you think. But then I always say this on the flip side. If you play ball and you like and you watch a brand of basketball, right, you can't blame Kevin Durant for going to Golden State.
Absolutely
because
not.
Because that style of basketball is the purest style of basketball you're going to ever watch, period.
It's championship basketball.
Exactly.
And, I was going to mention this. Nah. I know we're kind of pressed for time.
George has a tweet. We're going to respond to your tweet after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Fight!
man Will T excited for this Orioles Nationals game. Nationals have tied it up. They were down 5-1, right?
5-1, yep.
And Nationals have come back to beat the horrible Orioles.
Sorry,
don't worry. In due time, Will T. In due time. As an Orioles fan, in due time. This is what happens. But before we talk about the Washington Redskins, my man George, he tweeted us about LeBron James, actually. He says, you think the stories that LeBron definitely is going to the Houston Rockets are true? Actually, it's going to be L.A., but go ahead.
No, I don't think he's going to Houston.
James Harden can rock together. That's my opinion.
I mean, LeBron has to go somewhere where he initiates the offense.
Agreed.
I don't think it'd be Houston.
Yeah.
I think if it were just Chris Paul there, I think him and Chris Paul can make it work.
I agree.
If it's him, Chris Paul, and James Harden, you can't make that work.
No, I totally agree. But the Redskins head coach, Jay Gruden, said Alex Smith is the smartest player. I won't say quarterback. He said he's the smartest player that he's ever coached. Your thoughts?
I mean, that's very complimentary for just watching a guy in helmet and shorts.
Yeah, and from a distance.
Who isn't live game fire. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There are no pass rushers coming at him. There aren't any offensive linemen or running backs missing their blocking assignments. There aren't any wide receivers running the wrong route. So I mean that's heavy praise to give a guy this, you know, early in the, you know, in your all season. Well, all season's over now.
Yeah.
But
it's many camps.
Yeah. But I don't understand why coaches just don't undersell and over deliver.
I think it was shots fired. You don't think it's like talking about the prior quarterback?
I didn't want to talk about the prior quarterback, but yeah, I definitely think that shots at him.
Yeah.
You know, everyone he's even alluded to when he was hurt here, Kirk Cousins,
yeah,
who I'm referring to, the process,
yeah,
where he needs his process. Mm-hmm. You know, he has to go through the process. And Jay Gruden has stated that in the past, he's alluded to since Kirk Cousins was here, that he feels that he wanted to get a quarterback who could run his offense the way he wants it to be run.
Mm-hmm.
And that's stating that Kirk Cousins nor Robert Griffin III were as smart as Alex Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
So Alex Smith, real quick, Alex Smith wasn't on, looks like he will not be on the NFL Network's top 100 list. Are you surprised by that? Like at all?
No.
Like Kirk Cousins on it over Alex
Smith. Here's why.
All right.
Alex Smith, that offense that he played in last year was a lot of dink and dump.
Okay.
That's the perception anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, whether that's true or not, whether there's stats to prove, I'm pretty sure there are statistics out there that can...
That's way too much work. That's way too much work. analytics and whatnot.
Yeah, the analytics out there that can either prove or disprove the perception. But the perception is he checked down to Kareem Hunt. He threw bubble screens to Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Or he threw jump balls to Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Right? That's the perception. Whether it's true or not, mm-hmm, we don't know. Kirk Cousins, people are going to look at that and they're going at what he did last year, and they're going to be like, the man had a box of rocks.
Last year.
As far as his offensive skill, from a skill position.
Yeah, put up 4,000.
Put up 4,000 yards. His top threat, Jordan Reed, was inactive for at least 10 of the games.
Mm-hmm.
Terrell Pryor, the guy who was supposed to be the number one, didn't pan out.
Yeah.
And he lost two Pro Bowl wide receivers from who were no longer on the team, and he still threw for 4,000 yards.
Yeah.
And without what you would refer to as a competent or consistent run game.
Yeah. No, I know. I see your point. I will. Well, here, if I'm thinking from the outside looking in, people have more respect for Kirk Cousins than Alex Smith, obviously, because of the rankings and whatnot. But if you look at, I'm just surprised he's not in the list at all. There's other quarterbacks that you would think. You know, you're half a year in the kid Watson, who I do like Watson. I think Watson is better than Alex Smith, but still he didn't play a whole year.
Yeah, he didn't play whole year.
You know, I'm not a big fan of him. I think there's a lot of, I don't know, there's a lot of
bias.
Biasness when it comes to the players that pick the top 100, because some of the people in it, I'm like, I scratch my head over other people. I scratch my head.
I'm not going to lie to you. I have not watched any of that top 100.
I just saw a couple. I didn't see all of it. I just saw some of the picks. Like, to me, I think Trent Williams is better than the dude in Dallas is a left tackle.
Tyron Smith.
Yeah. And I'm not even speaking of being biased. I'm just talking about.
No, I mean, there are some people who would agree with you on that
one. Yeah. So, I don't know. It is what it is. But it's time to go to boxing, man. A lot's been going on in boxing. Triple G and Canelo, too, is going down.
September 15th.
Anthony Joshua. Wilder has reportedly agreed to Joshua's terms.
Yeah, I mean, reportedly, the fight was supposed to happen September 15th, but it's been canceled because we have Triple G and Canelo, which is arguably the most important fight in boxing now. In this fight, Wilder versus Joshua is the second important fight. That fight will take place somewhere over in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Deontay Wilder has agreed to go over to, they've agreed to a home and home, one in the U.S., with the rematch being in the U.S., and the first fight being somewhere over in the U.K. It's going to be an exciting fight. It's probably the...
Don't get everybody too much. We got to talk about this after the break, man.
Okay.
Don't give too much, though, man.
Oh, I thought we were going.
No. You're giving them too much right now. The world can't. They got to wait. It's a suspense to this, man. All right. We're going to talk about this after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback. But tonight,
don't call it a comeback.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally, Will T in the building, Ray Jeezy out. Subscribe to our podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you leave us a comment and rate us. Triple G and Canelo 2 goes down September 15th. Will T, excited about this fight? I know you are, man. You gotta
absolutely
be.
Man. Even with, I think the suspension adds a certain, a certain element to a certain, a higher level of excitement. Mm-hmm. Cause people are saying, what if he was dirty? He was dirty the first fight. Mm-hmm. Is that the reason why he was able to get a draw? Now, Canelo is going to be on, is being tested by VADA 24/7, so that he's on VADA, and they have the ability to test him at any time.
Doesn't that hurt like his chances of training or whatnot?
No. Because I think there's certain stipulations and periods, up into the fight and when they can test him.
Mm-hmm.
So, he'll be tested year round. Mm-hmm. So, there won't be the excuse that maybe he has something in his system 6 or 8 weeks out from a fight, and then by the time he arrives in the U.S. that it'd be out of his system. But yeah. VADA, they have the option to test him anytime. And then, with Triple G stating that he thinks that Canelo was dirty for the first fight.
Yeah.
And then, the negotiations going down to the last minute, they were able to do that. These things add certain elements to the fight, a higher level of excitement. Now, I don't think necessarily it's crossed over to like a pop culture thing.
Yeah, not like Mayweather fights.
Where it's mainstream, but a lot of people will be anticipating and looking forward to this one September 15th.
I felt that Canelo won the first fight, but it was still close. Who did you think won the fight?
I thought Canelo won.
You did too? Okay.
I thought he eked it out. A very slim margin.
Yeah, but it was a close fight. I'm never mad at a draw or whatnot because it really was a close fight. Like we mentioned before the break and we were getting into it. It's reported that heavyweight champ Deontay Wilder has agreed to Anthony Joshua's terms, fighting overseas. And you said it's going to be a home and home type of thing. The rematch of being here in the U.S. Do you believe this fight's going down?
I mean, the contract still hasn't been signed yet.
Exactly.
So there's always the opportunity that it won't happen. I hope that it happens. It'll most likely happen end of October, November. Around that time frame, it's exciting. This will probably be, the biggest U.S. The biggest heavyweight fight that's with a U.S. heavyweight involved that we've seen since. Jeez.
A U.S. heavyweight?
I might want to say Tyson Lewis.
Oh, you know what? That is, yeah.
With a U.S. heavyweight that's involved.
You're right.
I might want to say Tyson Lewis. You can make the case.
Yeah, it probably would be Tyson Lewis.
Yeah, with a U.S. heavyweight. Yeah, this terms of the money. This isn't the biggest fight in heavyweight boxing.
Yeah, because I know what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying.
You know what I mean? This is the biggest fight with a U.S. heavyweight that we've seen in a very long time.
Yeah, since Tyson. Yeah, because a Tyson fight is crazy.
Okay, yeah, you could say Tyson Lewis, and then you could possibly say the rematch between Lewis and
Rockman. That was Rockman. Big. That was big.
Because that just only reason that was big was because
he got upset.
Because of the upset.
Yeah, exactly. But
Rockman, Lewis, that involved a U.S. heavyweight. So one of those two fights. I think this fight will generate more of a crossover to pop culture from the standpoint that. Over in the UK because Anthony Joshua is so big.
He is big and he's big in the UK. Yeah.
He draws routinely 80,000-90,000 people to soccer stadiums over there. Mm-hmm. Deontay Wilder hasn't established his name as a huge heavyweight and just in the in popular culture here.
Yeah, he's trying. He's getting close.
If he's able to bring home the title, unify the titles. And bring it back to the United States for a rematch in Las Vegas.
Oh,
that would be huge.
That would you're right. That would definitely put him at the next level.
Yeah.
So, this is actually one of my favorites. This is what I love about our show. We talk boxing. Like other shows don't do this for real. Let's just keep it 100. Other shows don't do it. So over the weekend, welterweight champ Errol Spence Jr. knocked out Carlos Ocampo. Yeah, in the first round, body shot. Like hit him with a low one at first, but really that really didn't do anything. But the body work really did his damage. And a week prior, welterweight champ Terrence Bud Crawford TKO'd the joke Jeff Horn in the ninth round. He didn't beat Pacquiao. He didn't beat Pacquiao. This is ridiculous. Yes. Like him, even in the same ring with Terrence Crawford, and that type of fight is a joke. But that's neither here nor there. We talked about this, via our text messages and whatnot. Between these two boxers, who's the better boxer?
We're going better boxer. Better boxer Bud Crawford.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
In my opinion. He's the better skilled boxer.
Yeah.
He's a highly skilled boxer. He's able to, as I told you, he throws punches well from multiple launch angles.
Mm-hmm.
Fights very well on the inside. Mm-hmm. Getting positioning with his body, throwing combinations. Throws great combinations from the outside, from the inside, great footwork, great balance, good power.
Mm-hmm.
Errol Spence, I think, has better power.
Yeah, yeah.
Errol Spence, I think, would be able to make the fight a little more rugged on the inside.
Yeah.
But this fight at this point is a pipe dream, right? I think if you're going to see this fight, what weight would they have to be?
Because
no, it would be at 147.
147,
but,
yeah.
But it would be a welterweight fight.
Okay.
But you're looking at 2 years out.
I agree.
Just because this fight would have the opportunity to be like
a mega fight,
a huge fight.
I know.
I want to say Hearns and
Hearns Leonard type of Hearns Leonard.
I want to say
Oh, Hagler.
Hagler Hearns. I think this fight will have.
Crawford is very similar to Hearns. He's very similar to Hearns.
Hagler Hearns.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a fight that won't be made for 2 years. It's a fight that will have to bubble, and both of these guys will have to get their fans and the media will have to.
We back these individuals.
Will have to not. I mean, you have people that back them, but
you know, like with real momentum, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it would have to be a large cry for these fights.
Yeah,
It would have to be a pay-per-view fight.
Yeah, and I think that because the welterweight division, it's always been the best division in boxing, right? You have guys that can kind of build their brands, like for instance, Spence is waiting on the winner of Danny Garcia and
Sean Porter.
Yeah, Sean Porter. Those are two really good boxers.
Yeah, no, I mean,
You're good.
See, the thing is, Errol Spence can continue. See, this is the great thing for both of these guys. Yeah. I think both of these guys are set up that in a year and a half, 2 years, that because they who they have advising them and who they have kind of laid out the roadmap for their career, I think they're in a good place. You know, Errol Spence, for the simple fact that the top welterweights fight under that PBC banner and are advised by Al Heyman. So it would be relatively easy for us to see Errol Spence versus the winner of Danny Garcia and Sean Porter. Mm-hmm. Then if he's victorious in that fight, then for, you know, 6 months later to see him fighting Keith One-Time Thurman.
Yeah, exactly. You got
I don't think what people don't really give Bob Arum credit for is Bob Arum, over the past 20 years, the biggest superstars in boxing have all started with him.
Yeah,
you have De La Hoya, you have Mayweather, you have Pacquiao, you have Cotto. So the biggest names in boxing have been under Bob Arum. And Bob Arum has done a great job of promoting them to hardcore fight fans and putting them in the right fights where it builds anticipation for down the road for bigger fights.
No, I agree. Well, it's time to wrap this show up. Will T, always giving us that boxing gospel. Good job, Will T.
You about to say gossip.
I know I was. I did. I had to mess it. I had to change up, dude. I had to change up. You know it, man. But anyway, man, we appreciate you all for listening to us. Will T, anything you want to say?
No, once again, it's great to be back on the radio with you. Well, not radio, but
Internet podcast. Radio, that podcast and the radio.
So it was cool, man. Thanks again to Al Frankovich for stopping.
Ed. Think about Al Heyman.
I'm thinking about Al Heyman. I apologize, Ed. My apologies. Ed Frankovich from WNST, Washington Capitals Insider, for, you know, blessing us and talking about the Stanley Cup. Talking about the Washington Capitals, the Stanley Cup, and the transition to a new coach. And once again, thank you all, people. I'm not going to call you fans, but taking the time out to listen to our podcast. Appreciate it. We're two average Joes, nobodies, who just have an opinion on DC sports that we don't feel is being reflected by the current sports talk radio.
And he's so true. You're not going to hear me argue that at all. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
And Mega, lead us out, big homie. Thank you.